You and I, we've used the term before. It's that come to Jesus meeting, right? Well, we have that very situation right here with the life of Moses here in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 24. Moses learns Christ. It's that famous story of the burning bush. We welcome you to today's edition of Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, who continues our survey of Exodus. Now, this is a marvelous passage of Scripture because it sets up for us a look into the life of Moses and an example for you and I. We have left Egypt, right? If we have, what have we gone to? And that's exactly what we see here as God continues to mold Moses for great things. Here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast.
Who do you associate with, and what's your attitude toward your brothers and sisters? Do you really want to be here? Or does it really seem like just something I'm doing? Anyone who is ever going to be useful to the master in service so that their heart is in it has to come out of Egypt. That's where your molding begins. That's where the molding starts to take shape. That's where you're beginning to be molded as one of God's separate people. And in fact, that's why it's so dangerous to put in people into service who haven't come out. They really don't want to be in it. Moses left it. Moses got out. And he considered it a treasure to be identified with the reproach of Christ. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. That was the first work of God in Moses' heart. Let's get to the second. The second was this. Moses had to learn that the victory would not be achieved by his power. Moses had to learn that the victory would not be achieved by his power. We have something really shocking in this preparation that now takes place. We read in verse 11, one day Moses had grown up. He went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and he looked that way, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now there's a lot of ink spilled as to whether Moses was justified in doing this, and I take the position that's clear sin. You don't go like this, and you don't go like this, and then strike and bury if it's okay. But I want you to think about something here. Acts 7 gives us insight into what he was thinking. Stephen says, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wrong, he defended the oppressed man, and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. What did Moses believe? He believed he was the deliverer. And seeing an injustice, let's get the project started. Let's get going. And so he goes out and he tries to do the saving himself. And he only knocks down one. He sees an oppressed man. Notice, and you are starting to get into the character of Moses here a little bit. He's troubled by the oppression, and he was correct in that. He was right in that. He was right that he would be the deliverer. But you know what? His heart was in the right place, but it was not God's timing. How did it go for him? Well, we read that he goes out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews are fighting, and they're duking it out. And he says to the man, why are you striking your companion? He said, who made you a prince and judge over us? You mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And Moses was afraid and thought, surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard it, he sought to kill Moses. What do you have in the training of Moses? Great failure. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Moses was the one to deliver Israel, but he had not yet been called to it. The burning bush had not happened. He had not been stood in the presence of God. If you're going into this would be like somebody going into the pastoral ministry and acting like they had the call before they had the call. God was letting Moses fail. He needed to be humbled. He needed to learn that the strength of deliverance would never come from his power or his own might. And oh, do we all have to learn that in the Christian life? Every one of you needs to learn that. God says to him at the burning bush, I will deliver. I've seen the affliction of my people. I know their sufferings. Listen to this. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land. It's me, Moses. I'm doing this. You're my vessel. But it's my hand, my power, my glory. You ever stop and think that's exactly what we need in our training as Christians? Is to fail and learn that. You need to feel your weakness. Moses needed to feel his weakness. Moses needed to fall upon the Lord. He needed to understand his frailty. He needed to fear is what he needed to do. He had none. Sometimes we're so overconfident. Our hearts may be in the right place. We're going to go do the work of the Lord, but you have not submitted to his way or his timing. And that goes with so many facets of life. Moses needed to learn something. Notice here, the greatest challenge he will ever face is leading a bunch of grumbling, bumbling, mumbling Israelites out in the wilderness. And do you notice that that's the very thing that happens right now? Who are you? Who are you to lead? Are you some prince over us? He's going to experience that his whole life. And it's these kind of things that trained him to be known as the most humble man on the face of the earth. Whose strength do we go in to do anything for the Lord? Whose strength? Until you learn that, until your pride is torn down, until you're confronted with just how weak you are, you're not ready. And that leads me to the third thing he needed to learn. What did God do for him? Well, now think of your God. Israel's groaning over here. God is working on this man. Now he sends Moses out for a 40-year boot camp in the wilderness. 40 years of training. It's amazing. He becomes a shepherd. That's the third thing. He had to become a shepherd. Pharaoh hears what Moses has done. He's rejected Egypt. He's rejected his mom in Egypt. His position as a prince. He's identified with slaves. He's not taken the Egyptian life. He's now a marked man. He is a marked man. We read in verse 15, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. From the courts in the palace of Pharaoh all the way now into wilderness life for 40 years of wilderness life. Isn't that something? 40 years. Who's going there for 40 years? Israel. He's going to lead them. But he's got to learn that wilderness himself. He's got to become a shepherd. It's fascinating to me what the Lord's doing in this man's life. None of this was natural to Moses. It was intense training. And he had to go learn. Where's water found in the wilderness? Do you know how hard wilderness life is? They say that Lawrence of Arabia tried to retrace the steps of Moses, said it was one of the worst experiences. That wilderness was awful. 40 years training. God is so patiently in crafting this man to lead his people out, and now he has to learn the wilderness. Who's prepared for wilderness life? None of you. Do you think Israel sitting, eating all those years in Egypt and sitting there with the pots of meat that they will say is ready for wilderness life? It's so interesting to me that before Paul was called, he went out into the Arabian desert for a time. Was trained. What does he learn? What's the first presentation of him out in the wilderness? Well, it says that back in verse 11 that something was going on in the heart of Moses. Did you notice the first thing that it said? And I'm emphasizing now that God was training him to become a shepherd. How did he become a shepherd? The first thing it says is when he went out to his people, he did what? He looked at their burdens. He heads out into the wilderness. And there were these seven daughters, Reuel, who is Jethro. The shepherds came, these shepherds come, and they're abusing these women. Probably did all the drawing of the water. These women did all the drawing of the water, and the shepherds came and shoved them aside and took the water. I mean, just cruel. And there's Moses. Moses rose up. This is a man. He's leading. Put it together. You're seeing character. He's focusing on the burdens of others, and now he's seeing the helpless. He's seeing the helpless, and he becomes a helper of the helpless. He's courageous. He rises up in defense of these poor women among the wolves and draws their water. What a path, if you think about it. He leaves Egypt, leaves the palace, and he's focused on the burdens. And now he's out in the wilderness, and he's becoming a servant, learning to love others, carrying their burdens. Anyone whoever takes up the servant of Christ will never be until he cares of others. This is why Christ said to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." You ever notice Peter's path? Called away from the fishing business, goes through a massive failure in his life, "I'll never deny you," denies him something terribly, and then at the end has to learn what it's all about. Three things. Called out, learning your failures, who to trust, becoming a shepherd. How many burdens do the sheep have? This is not just for the shepherds, it's all of us. He cared for the sheep. But there's something else. He goes into Jethro's house, a direct descendant of Abraham, by the way. God's fingerprints. You're going to get a wife from the daughters of Abraham, if you will. He became a shepherd, but then notice he has a son. And it says in verse 22, she bore a son and called his name Gershom. Why? For he said, "I've been a stranger in a foreign land." Gershom means stranger there. Where? Well, some say right there. But I believe he's naming his son, confessing, "I am a stranger and have always been a stranger in Egypt." And that gets to what Hebrews is telling us about these people of the Old Testament, that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, going somewhere. Moses grew up in the palaces of Egypt and went from glory to rags. In other words, now is saying, "I'm a stranger and I'm going somewhere else." Every servant must know that. By the end of this, he's 80 years old. He's been out in a prolonged boot camp. He's left Egypt. He's become a pilgrim. He's learned that service would be done in the Lord's strength. He's become a shepherd to bear the burdens and deliver them from bondage. And in the next scene, which is so exciting, he's going to finally learn his God. Now, I suppose I want to initially just pause before next week, because I'm really excited about the burning bush. I want to begin to put this together for us. If it took Moses 80 years to be prepared for this calling, we need to realize that we're never mastered, or we've never mastered being in God's school. You've never graduated from his school. That's why I thought Ephesians 4 is so powerful. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling," they've done all these things. They've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all in cleanness with greediness. Here it is. "But you have not so learned Christ." If indeed, I'm assuming that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus that you put off concerning your former conduct. Did you hear what motivated the whole new life? Learning Christ. You never get out of that school while you're still living, no matter what age you are. You never get out. You never graduate from doctrine. You never graduate from knowledge. You never graduate from growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what eternity. You're going to be learning him. But here's what's tragic. Darcy has an uncle. His name was Don. He died, and I visited him numerous times trying to witness to him. He was an atheist. Do you know what he said the reason is that he didn't want to go to church? Why would I go there? It's all the same thing. All you guys do is talk about Jesus. Do you know that mindset is atheism? Comes from an atheist mouth himself who died in atheism. That attitude is out of the pit of an atheist mouth. We can remain in spiritual infancy. And Hebrews says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. I am so weary of a church today in our culture that is on nothing. Listen, the reason, let me put this together, the reason people are often ineffective in their service, and the reason ministries don't receive the blessing of the Lord, if you will, the reason people are ineffective is because they act like they've graduated from the school of Christ and there's no more desire to learn. One of the worst things I've seen is an attitude against any continued growth. Listen, I know catechism may have been taught poorly in the past, but it's not an enemy to us. It's God's truth. It's how you learn him. And everywhere I go, I see this attitude of, oh, catechism's bad. Catechism's bad. Or, you know, worship. And I think, really, are we growing in the knowledge of Christ? Moses' next school stop is the burning bush, and he's got to learn a lot of doctrine. He's got to learn a lot about the holiness of God. That's when it hits the head and takes root in the heart. I agree with you. Calvin's right. It can't just hop around in the top part of the head, but it's got to take root in the heart, and we have to have a hunger and thirsting to know him and to grow him. This is eternal life, that you know me, said Jesus. One author said, our weakness does not allow us to be dismissed from her school, talking about the church, until we've been pupils all our lives. And it was Martha who was mad because Mary wasn't getting up and serving. And Mary sat there and Jesus said, you see, Martha, we all have to start here. The story this morning is not ultimately about what you can do for God. I think that's part of the problem today. It's what we're all talking about, what I can do for God. It's ultimately about what the Lord's doing for you. Because you got 2 million people groaning right now who are stuck. And you see, back in Egypt, these people have been groaning and crying out, and their cries are coming up to God, and that's a schoolhouse in and of itself. And verse 24 says something we should be so moved by. So God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to which all you should say, uh-oh, Egypt's in deep doo-doo. Every time it says God remembered his covenant, you got a Sodom and Gomorrah-like event. Every time it said that, you had the flood-like event. Now they're in trouble. God's ready to act. God's ready to go get them. That's what God does here in the process of time. And think now about the whole story. In the process of time, God did this. God sent his son and this little baby in the manger, and he puts him into this mess, and he sent him and says, out of Egypt I called my own son. And that child grew in wisdom and in stature, filled with wisdom. The favor of God was upon him. For 30 years, while Israel groaned, he worked as a wood carpenter, by the way. I have little information about what he did during that time. And I know he's true God. And so the same kind of training doesn't parallel of what Moses needed, of what Jesus needed. But I know this, he didn't get out there until the Spirit fell upon him and he was anointed. And then that building project started, and it was glorious. Out of Egypt I called my son. He never took anything into his own hands. He was always concerned about whose will? My father's. He never acted independently of that will. Moses shows you the Son of God. Oh, he was a shepherd. This was a shepherd. He carried your burdens and your sorrows all the way to the cross. Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our sorrows and afflictions, carried them. He looked upon his brethren in the multitudes with what? Compassion. He always loved the sheep. He was out there defending the helpless. And then one day he walks up to a woman at the well who had been abused by five men. Think of the scene. Five men. And he frees her from that bondage and rescues her. And then you remember at the beginning of his ministry, he goes out into the wilderness for how long? 40 days to be tempted by the devil. Tempted and tested and tried, and he comes out victorious. And then after carrying your burdens and sorrows all the way to the cross and defeating the devil and plunging him into the Red Sea, by the way, Revelation talks about that. He's committed to lead you home. I come back to where I started. You groan. You groan in the wilderness. You groan. You think he's not doing anything? Look what he's done. Look what your father did. The Father and the Son and the Spirit, they have worked hard. And they're still working. And he's going to come back one day and he's going to bring you to Canaan. So I say to you this morning, learn him. Learn that story. See him in his compassion. See him gently lead you in the wilderness by streams of living water. Learn what he's done for you and become overwhelmed with that. And then you will be ready to serve others with hearts that have come truly out of Egypt. Until then, you're still too confident in yourself.
Learning what it really means to be a Christian and what that looks like from the life of Moses here in Exodus. Now, next time we get together, it'll be Moses coming to Christ instead of just learning, which is indeed the natural progression, right? This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org if you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. 8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, let's return to Pastor Chris as we close out today with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for being so committed to your project, and forgive us for hardened hearts that, as we saw, unless you were doing a mighty work, we wouldn't value this. We would think this is foolishness. We really wouldn't want to be here. And if there's anyone who's not come out of Egypt and feels that way, I pray that you'd confront them greatly and bring them out and draw out repentance and faith. And let us realize how weak we are and how much we need your grace and strength. And then train us all to become servants of others, caring for each other, loving one another, since we've learned our Savior who did this for us. And thank you, Lord, for caring to do this. You're so kind and compassionate to us, and our attitude to you has been, oh, we've learned all this before. Shame on us. The depths of your word are something we'll never be able to plummet in our life. And so let us hunger and thirst after that word and your righteousness. And then we will be the kind of servants, having learned Christ, that bear and love others with real effectiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Tomorrow, we're back in Exodus here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 8:30 for the morning service, 5 p.m. for the evening service, and both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.